Sing it, Wendy.
Frosty the Snowman was a jolly, happy soul. With a corncob pipe and a button nose.
Now we're talking.
Now we're
out of coal.
It's Bill Laff, it's Wendy Snyder. Rick Goldschmidt visits us almost every year at about this time, right, Rick? At Christmas time?
Yeah.
I know it's Christmas when I see you walking through the door.
Oh, yeah, I'm Mr. Christmas here.
Rick is the archivist for Rankin Bass. Rankin Bass, of course, the producers of some of your favorite Christmas specials, the stop-motion animation variety, correct?
Right, yeah. Animagic.
Animagic is what they call it.
That we all grew up on and that we all loved and that we can't wait to watch every year.
Yep, so true. What, in your opinion, Rick, as the archivist, the most trusted person, the most trusted authority when it comes to the Rankin Bass specials, what's the best one and what's the worst one?
Well, I'm still a big fan of Rudolph.
So good, isn't it?
That was their first big hit, and it really kicked open the doors for the little drummer boy.
Yeah.
Frosty the Snowman, The Year Without a Santa Claus.
Yep.
They're all good to me, you know.
But there's got to be a clinker or two. What do you think is the one that they really should have rethought and not made?
I can't think of one.
No,
to be
no
honest.
Bad ones. No.
You know, my 20th anniversary book is loaded with their shows, and I think they were successful on just about everything.
Yeah, yeah,
they were lucky. They got good people behind them, and a great writer, Romeo Muller Jr.
He wrote almost all of them, right?
Right, right. Yeah. And he didn't write down to kids, and he didn't write down to any one age group. It was like, it's for the grandparents, the parents.
Everybody.
Everybody can enjoy them.
Yeah.
And then why is Rudolph getting a bad rap? I am
every year
so
at this time.
Frosted, pardon my vernacular.
Happy birthday.
Thank you, Frosty. I am so irritated by this.
Well, if you remember last year, we were talking about this on some other site, and it's all clickbait garbage, you know? They're just trying to attack anything to get as many people upset and to click on it and to gain ad revenue. They didn't interview me.
Why wouldn't they talk to you about it? You'd be the authority I'd go to first.
Yeah, well, they just interviewed a bunch of people that I never heard of before bashing. And, you know, Santa...
For people who don't understand the controversy, let's revisit what the controversy is about Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. People say what?
Well, they're just saying Santa's mean, and he only accepts Rudolph when he has a useful purpose, and that...
There's a lot of bullying going on the special.
Hello.
They say that?
that's a part of the story.
Right. You
know,
need that.
You need it, and... you know, Hermie is so different with regular ears and a big wavy blonde hair style. These characters were different for a reason, and they really had a personality. Look at Santa.
Mm-hmm.
Santa is crabby. He doesn't actually like Christmas too much at times.
He's so overworked. I mean, really, think about it.
A lot of work.
But I love that he has that dimension, because up until then, Santa Claus was selling Coca-Cola and Chesterfield cigarettes.
Yeah. And he was much happier then.
Right.
All right. So the controversy, in your opinion, about Rudolph, about the special Rudolph, that there's too much bullying and that Santa is mean Santa, not lovable Santa like we all know, you think it's ridiculous, don't you?
Ludicrous.
There, you said it.
The whole thing is people are different and people do make fun of people and we shouldn't and we should all get along. Boom. Story over.
Right. And look at the endings of all these specials. They're so satisfying when the villains get reformed and the characters find their place. And I can tell you as the historian, I get emails from a lot of different types of people.
Yeah.
You know, autistic people. You know, gay people.
Yeah.
They love these characters because they represent them in the world.
It's an underdog. It's somebody who's a little bit different, Rudolph with the red nose, who comes and saves the day. That's a happy ending.
And it's satisfying.
Yeah.
And that's why it's been on for 54 years.
Yep.
And other shows have lasted 1 or 2 years.
Here's another question. I'm sure you've heard this about Rudolph. You got the Island of Misfit Toys. Now, with a lot of the toys, you can tell what's different about them, but there's a particular doll that you look at and you go, what's different about her? Everything seems to be in order with her. Why is she on the Island of Misfit Toys?
Well, in 64, they didn't have her in the special all that much. She just sang, you know, Dolly for Susan or whatever. In the second year, in 65, they added her in with a couple more lines around the campfire where they went back to pick up the misfit toys. And Romeo Muller never wrote in the script what actually was wrong with her. And Arthur Rankin would always joke that she was clinically depressed and cast off by her mistress, and Prozac wasn't available in 1964.
Pretty deep.
He got asked that question, like myself, about a gazillion times over the years.
I bet. My guess was always peanut allergies.
That's probably right.
Yeah. Nothing serious, nothing life-threatening, just peanut allergies.
No.
That's fine.
Somebody says Frosty the Snowman smokes a pipe in front of kids and wears no pants, so he's next to be picked on after Rudolph.
I've seen that that meme on Facebook, and I think it's hilarious. And also, Frosty's going to be 50 next year, and he's the subject of my next book, my sixth book. And, you know, to last 50 years in prime time on the same network, CBS, it's the longest running special on the same network. They all jump ship over the years to other networks.
But not this one.
Not this one.
That's pretty impressive.
Right, you tell me, because Wendy and I have discussed this before, these are specials that we all grew up on. I get that, and they mean something to us. But the ratings for these, like if you would say to somebody, I'm going to run something a couple of weeks before Christmas, but it's 50 years old, you go, well, nobody's going to watch that. But people do watch that. What do you think it is? Why are these so magical? Why do we need to see these every year?
Well, AMC just ran a 48-hour marathon of Rankin Bass specials, too. So they were doing something right.
Yeah.
And there's this, you know, the word animagic that we talked about. There's magic in these specials. I can break it down like I did in my Santa Claus is Coming to Town book and go by the music, the script, the voice actors.
Yeah.
But you watch the show and you see Jessica and Chris get married by the Christmas tree and hear that music.
Yeah.
It just, it warms your
heart. Makes you feel good. Yeah.
It warms your heart.
No question about it. Yeah. So why wouldn't it work today? It worked 50 years ago. It's still going to work today.
And we don't see much of that today. You know, the modern entertainment is all boom, boom, boom. Let's make a buck.
Yeah.
You know, and you could tell Rankin Bass weren't just trying to make a buck, you know?
Right. They wanted to contribute.
Yeah. It just, the stuff warms your heart and it's got qualities to it that are missing from a lot of entertainment.
So true.
And you know, listen, you say Rankin Bass and I know what Rankin Bass is, but who exactly were Rankin Bass? I just want to get that out there.
Well, Arthur Rankin Jr. and Jules Bass formed this company, originally known as Videocraft International. And that was international because they did the animation in Japan, the music in England, the voice actors in Canada.
Wow.
And they were in New York. They were a couple of guys like the Mad Men that you see in the Mad Men TV show. And Arthur Rankin is the one that I friended right out of college, you know, because I was an artist and he was actually the art director at ABC Television in the 50s. He worked with people like James Dean. He really kind of was the guiding light for Rankin Bass, where he would go to the networks and say, hey, we want to do The Little Drummer Boy. And they would say, okay, come back to us Monday with a treatment. He actually got the script from Romeo Muller over the phone and had a secretary take it down. And then, you know, they'd give him a budget and say, deliver this on December 16th or whatever. And that was it. You know, today they just, you know, they go through focus groups and can we put this on the air and this and that. And by the time it gets on the air, it's not what the artist envisioned.
And so people understand this, the process that was used is, you're using small, like almost puppets or figurines, and you're just moving them a little bit, one at a time, and taking a shot, and then a little bit more and taking a shot. It takes forever to do a half an hour, an hour special.
Right. It's like Susie Snowflake and Hard Rock Coco and Joe in Chicago, which was also done by a Japanese or Chinese animator, Wao Ming Chang. They loved what they were doing, and Arthur Rankin could see that.
Centaur Productions, was that the name of their company?
Centaur. Yeah, Centaur. So Rankin Bass, what they did, though, was they took that art form with the puppets, which I appear with at some of my conventions, and brought personality to them. And they did it in a way where they weren't bringing Burl Ives and Fred Astaire and Jimmy Durante in just because, oh, they're big stars. Their voices were great for animation, unlike today, you know, they'll put Brad Pitt or somebody like that, and you can't even tell who it is. So they brought these people in that had this great, Mickey Rooney as Santa Claus, you know? Like, how perfect is that? And then Keenan Wynn as Winter Warlock, and Paul Frees as the Burgermeister. I mean, these are voices that stick with you, and you think of the characters. I don't even think of them as puppets sometimes.
Yeah,
they're that lifelike. Yeah.
It's like the Heat Miser and the Snow Miser are them to me.
Yeah.
You know? It's
agreed. Yep, no question about it. Hold that thought. More with Rick Goldschmidt, the archivist for Rankin Bass, after the break. Bill Leff, Wendy Snyder.
And Santa Claus.
And Santa Claus, of course. Rick Goldschmidt is our guest. We bring Rick in every year right before Christmas to talk about his books and his role as archivist for Rankin Bass. Those are the producers who made some of your favorite holiday specials. The new book is about to be released, right? Any day now, Rick? Is that
right,
correct?
Right. Yeah. If Publishers Graphics and Carol Stream has it printed for me, hopefully tomorrow.
Oh, that'd be perfect. And what is the new book called and what is it about?
It's The Making of Santa Claus is Coming to Town and The Daydreamer. From miserbrothers.com is
that
our website.
That was the Danny Kaye movie about Hans Christian Andersen, right?
Actually, no. Danny Kaye's not in The Daydreamer,
but
a lot of big stars are, like Patty Duke, Haley Mills, Boris Karloff, Burl Ives, Sesawa Hayakawa, Victor Borge, Tallulah Bankhead, Ray Bolger.
Impressive
Margaret
list.
Hamilton. Yeah, that's why I put it in the book, because it's sort of a forgotten gem. It was shown a lot at Thanksgiving in other states.
Yeah.
And it's a great animagic. It's like an eye candy type movie that they shot at the New York World's Fair.
Yeah.
They made it look like it was in the Hans Christian Andersen world.
That's why I'm thinking that I'm confusing it with that movie.
Yeah. And Paul O'Keefe and Jack Gilford were the main stars. And I just found out in the book that they had appeared together on ABC a couple years before in a Thanksgiving special.
Jack Gilford's the guy from all the Cracker Jack commercials from the 60s.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And he was a New York actor. So it's a great movie, and I just put it in the book because I had a lot of material on it, and I figured, why not, you know, pair it up with one of the biggest, most important Rankin Bass shows,
sure.
Santa Claus is Coming to Town. And if you notice, since Santa Claus is Coming to Town, they got a bigger cast, too. Normally, they would have one star, like a Burl Ives, and then throw in a bunch of voice actors, like from Canada. But this one, they got three big stars, Fred Astaire, Keenan Wynn, Mickey Rooney. And they used all American voices for this
one. What was behind that? How come?
I think they got a bigger budget.
Maybe.
And it was 1970, and they were really rolling. And right after that, they did Here Comes Peter Cottontail, which is another favorite of mine.
Yeah.
I mean, this is one of their best, specials, so I had to do a book.
Holds up beautifully, doesn't it?
Yeah,
still
it does.
Very entertaining.
People want to know where to get your books, because how many do you have out now?
I have five now.
Wow.
And we do bundle packs where you get a discount at miserbros.com. And yeah, and I enjoy doing it. It's like Anna magic for me when I see a book printed.
So Miser Bros, MiserBros.com. That's where people can get the books.
Yeah, but what a dream gig, Rick, because you grew up watching this and loving it, and now you're their archivist. That's just cool.
Yeah, it has its ups and downs. I enjoy appearing. Like last night, I was at the Evergreen Park Public Library, which was great, and they listened to your show.
Oh, great.
And thank my you. Mailman, Larry, listens to your show, too.
Hi, Larry.
And picks up books every day.
Oh, nice.
And my fiance, Denise Emilio, is listening.
Oh, excellent.
Too.
Good.
But, oh, and Scott's Vintage. Can't forget them.
Also listening? Excellent.
Very, very good.
But, you know, this year they put out some new Blu-rays and DVDs, and they really disappointed me big time.
Why?
I was on your show in the spring, and yeah. I had mentioned they were talking to me, and they were going to get me on and to help with the documentaries. And then a bunch of political things got involved, where these bad people got involved and said, well, you can't have him on there for this and that reason, mostly because they don't want to throw credit Arthur Rankin and Jules Bass's way.
That seems strange.
It's crazy. And
all the credit should go to them.
Yep.
I don't get it.
Well, there's, I won't mention the names of them, but there's musicals and there's various productions based on them
yeah.
that don't even have Romeo Muller's name in the credit
and
who created the characters.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's sad to me that that happens. And
yeah.
it's sad to me that they won't allow the history to be told right, and
mm-hmm.
they just get a bunch of friends and people who throw their two cents in and say, oh, I love this for this reason, but they didn't actually talk to the people that worked on the shows like I did.
Yeah.
A lot of them passed away, like Tony Peters designed Rudolph.
And he's no longer with us.
He's no longer with us, but he gave me all the insight.
Yeah.
To what he did, how his wife and him used to play cards with Arthur Rankin and Jules Bass, and he was sort of the kid in the art room.
Wow. And we only have a half a minute, but I want to mention this. When you talk about the scope of what these specials meant to people, I don't think A Nightmare Before Christmas becomes a thing, a project, a film, if it's not for Rankin Bass. He's so obviously, Tim Burton, so obviously influenced by the Rankin Bass specials with a show like Nightmare Before Christmas. Do you agree?
Yes, Arthur actually liked Nightmare Before Christmas, and Tim Burton's, I think the reason Tim Burton got into animation was the Vincent Price appearance,
yeah.
and Here Comes Peter Cottontail.
I bet you're right.
Because he's wearing the black and the
yeah.
god look, and then of course Mad Monster Party was
yep.
a huge influence on them.
No question. Yeah.
Give your website again for people to get your books.
It's miserbros.com, MiserBros, like the heat miser and the snow miser.
Yeah.
And your appearances are up there too, because you're all over the place.
Well, it's on my blog, which is enchantedworldofrankinbass.blogspot.com. I post things every day and lots of pictures, and you can follow me on Facebook now too.
Excellent. Excellent.
Have
always
great Christmas.
To see you. Yeah, have a wonderful
Christmas.
And the newest book, Santa Claus, The Making of Santa Claus Is Coming to Town, is available any moment. So just check miserbros.com. It'll
Larry,
tell you
the
when.
Mailman should have it soon.
Yeah, very soon. I hope he does. Thank you, Rick.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. More after this, Bill and Wendy, WGN.